T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. We there.
Tomorrow, we are going to have a film breakdown of Justin Fields with my guy, Michael Felder. And top five tomorrow is going to be with a guest. Cole Wright is going to be on with me at 1 o'clock, and we are both going to give our top five list of moments on the television show Martin. So that is tomorrow.
That's tremendous.
At 1 o'clock.
I thought we were getting top five bits of barbershop wisdom.
Oh, well, he is definitely the old black guy in the barbershop. He comes with those types of takes quite often. I am going to delay my top five Oreo list to next week. I do have the list. It is put together. I've made some choices.
Tried a new one the other night at a party. It was the red, white, and blue, like July 4th Oreos with like Pop Rocks red stuff.
Yeah.
In the frosting.
How'd it go for you?
There's too much going on.
It's probably a little too much. That's
settle down.
That's just, kind
just,
of the.
Just be a cookie.
Yeah. That's kind of what you're looking for.
Crazy party right there, man. Yo.
It was.
Hey, man. You got to do what you got to do. Sometimes it'd be cookies.
Oh, that's right. I got stories about that party. Shane asked us what our weekend was like.
Yeah.
I got that one to talk about.
All right.
The two voices that you are hearing, one you're very familiar with, and the other is Matt Spiegel. Spiegel and Parkins show today. Mark Grody is sitting in for Messer Parkins, and the two of you are going to have quite the time, it is looking like.
There's a lot of stuff. Danny's out all week, actually, on vacation, so I'm in the power chair. And I got Groats. Groats, I got you twice.
I'm sorry, but tomorrow I am not able to because I will be in Lake Forest. 11 o'clock is when the Bears general manager Ryan Pace and the head coach Matt Nagy are scheduled to speak, so I don't believe that I will be back in time. If this was the Zoom era that we lived in last year, it would have been totally
but not anymore.
You could have done the Zoom from the update studio and then walked right in here.
That's true.
This is good that it's not. You're going to get more stuff. You're going to get facial expressions.
Yes.
You're going to get follow-up questions.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Looking very forward to that. It's going to be odd at first, I think, because none of us are used to it, and we're all used to having this orderly fashion, which in some cases works out for some people who don't usually get questions, and I'm pretty aggressive. Huh. But I think there are some people that are part of the Q&A that are not going to like it as much because it is hard. It becomes more difficult.
It's back to survival of the fittest.
Yes, it really is.
It's Lord of the Flies now because what happened before is...
Careful when it's Lord of the Flies because, you know, Dan Weider is going to eat somebody, you know?
you raise your hand.
Hub has the conch.
Oh, yeah.
And now people can jump in there and you don't get that follow-up question. And the great thing is that the Bears don't get to control who asked the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's been going on during the Zoom era is that they get to go, oh, we'll go this reporter, this reporter, this reporter. We'll go back to this reporter and then not allow this reporter or this reporter to ask a question.
Well, they became pretty good at allowing us a question and then a follow-up. They didn't mute us right away. They were good at allowing us for follow-ups. But the problem with the, as we call it, the gangbang where everybody's trying to ask questions at one time, it becomes embarrassing sometimes because you'll have three people say, hey, Matt, hey, Matt, hey, Matt.
Yeah,
and then it's like, and then Matt or whomever has to
watch him dart.
Right. And then he just has to decide, or then it's like, oh, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. So it can be a little bit painful.
You guys
times,
will get that sorted out.
But that's,
I mean,
okay.
This is a good week. We got the Bears camp starting tomorrow. We can talk about that today, you and me, with some storylines leading into camp, and you're the man for that. We got the trade deadline on Friday, smack dab in the middle of this show. We'll see what happens between now and then on both sides of town. I am pumped for all the activity. Yeah, and it is a crazy moment for both teams.
And it's important that you tell, it is Friday. I know people kind of think it's the 31st.
No, not this
no,
year.
No, it's the 30th. Friday during this here show.
Yeah, they went business day. They went last business day of July for whatever reason.
And it's amazing all the different manifestations of Cubs trades. Let's focus on them for a second that we've gone through over the last month or so to where it might be this guy, might be that guy, they might sign that. Now it's like everybody's gone. You know what I mean? Like it feels like it's possible that everybody goes off of this Cubs. Like everybody, like – whereas before, I never thought there'd be a possibility of Anthony Rizzo leaving. I figured that would be decided in the offseason. They would try to get a deal done with him. The more I hear now, Rizzo could be gone just as easily as Chris Bryant could be gone.
Conversations that are happening around the ballpark. And I got to do pre-post in the fifth on Friday, which was...
Did you,
yeah,
Matt?
It was great fun. Yeah. Just in case you didn't know.
I do that every once in a while.
In case anybody did.
Are we doing the Spiegel Idol
no,
thing
no,
today?
No, not today.
That's a Perkins trick. Yeah.
But conversations that are happening are similar to this. Which one of these guys would you want to pay premium free agent rates for their age 28 to 32 years? Which one feels worth it
Chris Bryant for me is the only one. Yeah, KB, I would.
But it depends. If he's going to get Bryce Harper money or Manny Machado money because he's healthy and productive this year, is he that level of player? Is he going to be that level of player? Is he truly elite and worth that on some level? There are a lot of opinions that maybe he's not. Like I agree that he would be the guy that you want to keep and play, but he might get paid an amount that does not feel sensible for what you have come to know. And that sentence you can say about Anthony Rizzo, that sentence you can say about Javier Baez. It's like those guys, we have lived and seen their flaws enough that making the decision to pay premium free agent rates for them feels kind of crazy for each one of them on some level.
I understand what you're saying. And I would say this about KB, that really his only flaw is he healthy? Like that to me seems to be the thing that would keep you, would give you pause into, I'm going to lock into a 8-year deal worth $250 million.
You feel comfortable doing that? You as an observer of the last 5 years?
I would have some pause, but if I were the Cubs, I also know that he is probably more steak than sizzle. Javi's maybe a little bit more sizzle than steak, although there's a lot of steak there too with him. But his flaws are, I heard you talking about this last week, Groats, and for people that aren't watching on Twitch, where you were talking about Javier Baez and the holes in his swing and how Joe Maddon told us a long time ago, if he just stops with the low and outside pitch, he turns into Manny Ramirez. Mm-hmm. And we've all seen it. We're like, yeah, he kind of would turn into that if he stopped. And even this year, his numbers are fine, like power numbers, his slug
numbers. The counting stats.
Are fine.
Yes.
Elise Menaker of the Marquee sideline had a report on Friday. After Javier Baez hit the 3-run homer, I think it was the Friday game against Arizona, she did a report that just blew my mind, that Javier Baez has been asking, how can I be more like Matt Duffy and Nico, where has that been? Like, they've been trying to get him to be more like Matt Duffy and Nico Hoerner since he was in the minor leagues.
Three hitting coaches in three years trying to give the nuanced message of asking these power guys to be more contact-based based on the situation. And they haven't done it. But Javi now is thinking about it. He is now thinking.
Is he?
He is.
Yeah, I mean, like... Because there's a way to do this, Javi. Don't take the full Javi. I have not seen him take the B hack yet. So if he wants to do it, he can do it, and I still am not seeing it. That's why I'm questioning Matt, not you, but
I feel you. Where was the game on the road trip, Tanny?
Arizona?
I think it was Arizona, where he had a couple different RBI singles, and after the game, Javi was saying, yeah, you know, I'm just trying to take my singles and not go up there and hit a home run every time. And it's like, oh my God, where is it? So do you trust that it... Could that happen?
No, because he goes through periods of doing that. Even when he was under Joe Madden, I think became the closest to getting him to that point where he would say, hey, man, accept your single, essentially.
Because I don't know if any other manager that he's had believed in him the way that Joe did. I mean, if you go back to Joe being like, no, that guy needs to be on the major league roster right now. But Joe would always say, and it sticks with me even today, when watching Javi, like, okay, here's how it works. When Javi accepts his walks, then the next thing that happens is you'll see it, and I would track it. Like, when we talk about it, the next thing is he'll start hitting the ball to right field. Then he's going to hit the ball to right field, and then he'll hit to the gaps. Then he starts hitting the ball out of the ballpark.
Because he is waiting, and he's late enough that he'll pull a ball and hit it out, and then he'll get excited about that and lose himself again.
Correct. That is the cycle of Javier Baez as a hitter.
That's perfectly said, Lawrence, and that's what happens. And that's why these are humans. And Ron Coomer has talked about when Duffy and Horner are there, something happens. It becomes cool to make contact. And these are human beings who are consumed, whether they know it or not, with being impressive, and some of them, their egos are huge and powerful, and it's got to become cool just to make contact. And for Javi, right now it is.
But
does it stay that way?
Deep down inside, or actually not even deep down inside, for Javier Baez, really, it's cooler to hit the ball 450 feet, no matter how much
it is.
He buys into the idea of contact and hitting a sharp single to right field to knock in a run from second base like that. But what really feels good is hitting the ball hard and swinging as hard as you possibly can. He is maximum effort on every single swing, and I haven't seen a change yet.
So we got all that Cubs stuff to kick around. Was that the best team in the National League that the White Sox just played for 3 days?
I mean, my argument has been this. 1 through 5, I don't think there's anyone better than the White Sox.
1 through 3,
you got a problem with Milwaukee.
You want to play any? I mean, you want to face them in September?
No,
in October?
I do not.
Those three guys in a row?
No, I do not.
That's an amazing organization. It really is. With a terrific manager, a really good front office. They're doing all this with Christian Yelich being trash.
Yes. Yep. And there were moments in this weekend series where Yelich could have really done damage. And even in last night's game, there was an opportunity for him to do some damage, and he didn't. He's not the same player, and yet and still, here they are with a huge lead in the National League Central. And that pitching, like, even when you look at their lines, like you look at some of the statistics on some of their guys, and you figure out Corbin Burnes should be a Cy Young Award winner, but when you look at just the regular numbers on him, it's like, how are they not winning games that guy starts? Because he's amazing.
Yeah. It was a really interesting series with two real good teams that we're going to see, I think, go very deep in October.
Yeah, and I was careful to say on Saturday that I didn't look at this as a measuring stick for the Chicago White Sox, because they're measured. They are really, really damn good. But I did view those three games as a playoff series, as in being critical of the minutiae and every little thing that happened. And I was glad that it was in a National League park, so you were forced to make different moves.
Yeah, like
it felt like a playoff series.
Hit.
Yeah, having Kopech lead off the inning.
I have this nagging fear that a Tony La Russa managing gaffe is going to cost them in a big, big game. I still have that fear. Did he forget how to double switch? Did he forget that he could double switch?
It felt that way.
I mean,
by the way, the broadcast was helped with Eduardo Perez being there.
Yes, except for saying that Brian Goodwin was one of their best outfielders. That did happen.
So
And he said Goodwin, that Tony wanted to keep Goodwin out there for defense.
That's what I mean, yeah.
That was giving Tony an out.
Was that before
I don't think
or
he...
after the ball went off of his glove that he slowed down ahead
and the
of,
other yeah. one that he took a wrong route to? I think that Goodwin is fine in the corners. I hate him in center field.
Yeah, he's insecure there. He really is. Like, for whatever reason, he is not getting...
The Jackie Bradley Jr. triple, go watch it.
Yeah.
Watch the line that he took.
That's the one that went off his glove, right?
No. The one that went off his glove was the double, I want to say. But the one, the triple, it looked like that Jackie Bradley had just like just absolutely destroyed it.
Yeah, okay.
But
yeah.
when you see it, you see Goodwin coming straight across and missing it horribly. And the ball, then him having to double back and get it. I don't like him in center. I do like him in right and left. And obviously his stick has value for this team.
All right, so last night, Tony decides he's done with Lance Lynn after six at 98 pitches. I would have gone another inning with Lance Lynn. I've been on that stump very loudly all year long.
There were a couple hard-hit balls, though.
Okay.
I mean, I get taking him out.
Okay, so Kopech is in, and that's when you should bring in Hamilton for Goodwin as a double switch. You know, that's when you do that. So Kopech's spot becomes sixth in the order, not ninth, and due up first in the very next inning. But he didn't do that. He could have also done it with Danny Mendick and Leury García if he wanted to do that instead. If he does, you know, if he wants to leave Goodwin's glove in there, because you bring in Hamilton, maybe you move Goodwin to right and take out Sheets, because that's who he wants to take out. Sheets is due up third the next inning. So was he trying to buy one more at bat for Gavin Sheets at the expense of having to let Michael Kopech hit? You know,
first time.
Or is there a brain fart? I think it's a brain fart.
Yeah, I do too.
You got double switch options there, and he didn't do it.
Which is ironic because I thought this was going to be his series because of his
National League series.
Yes.
Friday night, I'm at the game, and I had a great group of fans, Brewers and White Sox fans, surrounding me the entire time. So I'm watching the bullpen because I had a closer line to the White Sox bullpen. And I'm like, okay, trying to figure out how he was going to manage the situation towards the end of the game. And what he ended up doing was having someone get up three times in the bullpen. And by then, I wasn't shocked at all that the game descended and devolved from that point, because what does Joe Madden, you call it, dry hump?
Like, who'd he get up three times?
Who was it?
Was it Burr?
Burr. Burr got up three times. I think he threw 50 pitches in the bullpen, Speaks.
And gave up a grand slam.
So there's a young White Sox fan who was sitting behind me. Now look, what they ended up doing in that situation, there was some BABIP stuff, like some bad luck BABIP stuff that ended up extending the inning. But this young fan behind me was livid. He must have been like 19, 20 years old. And he was livid, and he was saying the same thing I was. Like, we were both like, you got the guy up, you didn't bring him in. You got him up again, and you didn't bring him in. You get him up the third time, he comes in there, he had nothing. Yeah. He was absolutely gassed.
Oh, God.
And it was, that ballpark is warm, because they don't have like a cooling system there.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because they just open the back windows, right?
And it doesn't do enough, Speaks. It doesn't do enough. And you just felt that it was going to turn into something bad. So, yeah, I don't think that Tony has been moving. He has been ascending as a manager throughout
Absolutely.
The season.
And he's obviously got good relationships with these guys. I give him credit for that. He understands his players and knows who he has now.
I didn't think
he had
a good weekend in Milwaukee.
I did not either.
The one really good move is when he ditched conventional wisdom and did not bring in lefties last night, as in Garrett Crochet or Bummer. I don't even know if Bummer was available last night. And did
partly because of what he had done on Friday night with Bummer.
Well, that's true. Yes.
But he just doesn't. He doesn't believe in anybody.
I know,
there.
But Liam Hendricks comes in and he's essentially lights out. So I did like that move.
Me too,
by Tony.
Because the eighth inning was the high leverage inning.
Yeah,
it wasn't. So, it wasn't the close inning. It was, we got to get out of this right now.
No messing around. Here is our best guy. The only guy really in this ball, except for Kopech, who has been really dependable this year, is Liam Hendricks.
One other thing, Lawrence, you were talking about Team USA and their failings and the impact of the Dream Team in 92 on Olympic hoops in terms of internationally people, you know, other countries wanting to be that good. There's also an impact on USA hoops by the Dream Team, which is that thankfully, and it comes and goes in waves sometimes, the best players in the world do feel the pressure to play, and so they will play. Like, here's Kevin Durant, and here's Dame Lillard, and they are playing. But they also think still that they can just show up and beat people like the Dream Team did. They just think, well, it's our sport and it's our league, and all we got to do is show up and recreate, and we're just that damn good. Don't you see what we do in the NBA? And they still think they can just show up and do that. And
even
they
when you look
cannot.
Across and there are NBA players on the other team.
There are NBA players there who are playing a better brand of team basketball. They have willing facilitators. They are connected on defense. They are thinking like a group more selflessly than these guys
are. So this is the 1980 USA hockey team beating Russia. Hey, man, over a five-game series, though, USA would take down France. Figure it out.
No, but now they're better. It's like it's as if Team USA also had some NHL guys, you know, because there are some NBA there are NBA guys on these teams. But
at
they
the end
also
of the game,
have
France had three NBA players on the floor.
Australia has
five. They have five guys that they can throw out there.
But they all think team basketball.
And even on a team like Slovenia that is dominated by Luka, 48-11. Those are the second most points for someone in an Olympic game. Like, there's a lot of talent that's just around here, and they have to understand that, yeah, they can beat these teams, but they need more time, and I'm going to give them that time. I'm going to give them – they got Chris Middleton and Booker, like, literally just came off the plane and sat on the bench. I'm going to give those guys a couple of days to get themselves acclimated, and then Middleton's game, to me, is perfect for Olympic basketball, and Booker is a bucket getter. So now you have multiple guys that can go get the buckets.
But they're all that's all ISO go get the bucket stuff or pick and roll go get the bucket stuff. They have no willing facilitators. They don't have playmakers. Jrue Holiday has to be a full-on playmaker. That's the guy who's got to do that. And they have one big. Bam Adebayo is the only big.
Well,
it's a bad roster
JaVale
construction.
McGee is there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. JaVale is there now.
Let me ask you this.
I'll give him that. JaVale is there because Kevin Durant is going to have to play some center minutes.
Did you see the guy that asked JaVale if his mom was alive?
Oh.
Joe Vardon with The Athletic.
Old Joe Vardon, huh?
I mean, I feel like outing him. I just thought it was weird. Such a weird question.
Shane, ready.
Is
Joe
your mom
Vardon.
Alive?
Shane,
must
will
have
you
got
get
to
the,
you,
will
Shane.
Will you get the audio for them so they can hear it?
Yeah, I need to hear that.
It's like, wow. It is like, whoa.
Hey, do you guys still wish that the USA was just winning by 50, or is this better?
I like this.
A better watch. Okay.
I love that global basketball.
I just wanted to clarify that.
No.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
I love that global basketball, the impact of the guys that we grew up loving and watching, they had such an impact that other countries were like, we could do that. Like, if we really worked hard.
I'm great with that, but now I want to see the USA show up
you
and learn and win.
To swing back.
Swing back. Yeah. Learn to play team basketball. If you're going to go do this, Carmelo was selfless as an Olympian.
He's
and a
great
Team USA guy.
He's America's greatest basketball Olympian.
Probably. And that is a bucket getter who said, I'll just go get some rebounds. I'll do whatever I got to do. He got his buckets too, but he was doing anything he needed to do.
See, I feel like Dame is the type of dude that could if they need someone like Dame, we need you to not be lead guard. We need you to play point.
Correct.
I think he could do it.
It's an interesting moment in his career to ask him to do that.
No doubt, considering what the hell's going on
in Portland. What hell's going on in Portland and how he just put up, 55 eight times in the playoffs or whatever the hell it was. It's like, so it's an interesting moment to ask him to do. I agree that he's got it in the toolbox, but Popovich has not been good about getting these guys to do that.
Well, and now this is the point where the player's like, okay, Pop, we'll listen to you now. We will not tune you out. We'll play team basketball. What was it you were saying about that? Like, we're ready to listen.
Yeah, it could be a wake-up call. Yeah. It's exactly right. All right, Lawrence Holmes, thank you, sir. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, boys.
All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.